Morning. Greetings in the worthy name of Jesus. As I was listening what the attendance was, look over the crowd, it looks like it's bigger than Leola. Wow, God is blessing. Then I was drawn to a verse in Psalms. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Pray for me this morning. I didn't have much sleep last night, so I feel a little groggy. But the Lord is good. I was thinking of Paul. Wherever he went, there was either a riot or what else? A revival. That's how Paul was. It went with him. People hated him too. Also, people loved him. I'm not going to give a riot this morning. We'll trust the Lord. We can speak in our hearts. Because he is good. He's merciful. He loves us. And his mercy endureth forever. My thought this morning goes to Jesus' words. I often think of this verse, the way, the truth, and the life. That's one of the I ams of Jesus. There's a number of I ams in the scriptures. I am of Christ, I am the door, I am the shepherd, a few of them. The setting here was in the upper room. If you go to chapter 13 of John through chapter 17, that is in the upper room setting. It was likely Thursday before the crucifixion on Friday. In the upper room where they observed the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come. It also says in a prior chapter of things that all things were in Jesus' hands. What does that mean? All things were in his hands. God was looking on. The future of you and I was right before him. Life or death. But he had to give death to give us life. Love is the center of all this. The word love is used only 12 times in the chapters 1 to 12 of John, and the chapters 13 to 21, it is used 44 times. So that is a key word in Christ's farewell sermon to his disciples. So let's turn to John 14, and we'll read the first 18 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him, and ye have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I shall do, that I do, shall he also do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, the disciples faced a perplexing question. Jesus was foretelling and teaching the future. You know, Jesus all along was healing physically, proving that he was who he said he is. And even when it came to calming the waters when the storm was in possession, he also was the creator. Jesus was sovereign, Lord, yet he amplified a humble spirit, giving an example of his servant attitude. He was a God-man, yet he lived like he wants us to live. He was living an example for us to live, but yet it was God. Jesus' life was filled with examples. He was a servant attitude, and he had a humility and love. Jesus also knew that Judas would betray him. This was not very obvious to the other disciples, because when they asked, he said that one's going to betray them. He said, "Is it I?" Judas didn't give no indication as to what was in his heart. A few things Jesus told them disheartened or troubled the disciples. One of them, that one was going to betray him. The other was that he was going to die. Peter would deny him 3 times. They didn't understand all this. You know, they were troubled. Their Lord could heal, create food, experience many blessings. Jesus dying takes away the idea of security. In their minds, Jesus being the Messiah confused them when the idea of dying came. So this is what Jesus brought to the idea of the very first verse that we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." The question we could ask, where was Jesus going? Could they go with him? How could they get there where he was going? How could they get there? These were questions. I can imagine their thoughts as they sat at the table. How did Jesus calm their hearts? Jesus simply said, "Trust God, trust me." He was trying to describe who he was. Jesus' actions of love did promote their trustworthiness to follow him. Verse 2, Jesus called God my Father. He knew his Father just as the Son knows a Father. Jesus knew his Father's house. The earth is not his permanent dwelling place. Earth is a proving ground in order to give his life that we can have eternal life. Heaven, like he says, is a prepared place for a prepared people. Doesn't exactly say that there, but that's what it is. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. I go to prepare a place for you. In Revelations, it describes it further. John gives us an illustration of heaven, of the holy city, and it boggles my mind every time I try to think of this beautiful holy city. You know, we can travel the world around and we can see huge cities. I remember Denver, Colorado, coming off the Rocky Mountains, you can see the one big city of lights. It was evening. That's just a speck. Imagine 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles that way. And this is where I don't get it, is 1,500 miles that way. That'll take eternity to search out all the beauty. You want to go there? I do. It's getting closer. I'm getting older. It's getting closer. The word mansions means abiding place. It means places, residence, rooms, dwellings, areas, spaces for living. No shopping centers. What a glorious hope. How much clearer could Jesus be? A place for every one of us. A place for every believer to dwell and live. A new heavens and a new earth. Verse 3, deliverance from troubled hearts comes when Jesus returns. Are you ready, like Brother Johnny was saying? Are you ready when Jesus comes? Is he coming soon? It wouldn't have mattered if he would have came 10 minutes ago to me. But he didn't come yet, but he is. That doesn't mean he's not coming. He will return. He's going to come and receive us unto himself. Then we're going to be eternally with the Lord. The most satisfying statement Jesus said is, "Where I am, there you may be also." Is that satisfying to you? What does that mean to you? Forever, being together. I never seen Jesus. Maybe some people seen Jesus in a vision, but I never did. In order to have a heavenly expectation, we must have a connection with God while on earth. John 12:26 sums it up like this. Jesus describes a qualification for being with him. I should turn to that. 12:26 says this, "If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If a man serve me, him will my Father honor." I see a few words for us as a servant. Serving, following. Are you a servant this morning? Are you pleasing your master? Is Jesus your shepherd? are we following? Verses, and Jesus, and Thomas here asks a serious question. He says, how do we know the way? How do we know the way? Did Thomas not understand what Jesus was explaining all this time? And if you go back to John chapter 10, Jesus gave the illustration of the sheepfold, a very, very familiar setting. And Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. In other words, you got to go through me to get the glory, to that abiding place. You got to go through me. Jesus is my shepherd. You know, a sheepfold is like the church. It is a safe haven. Jesus is a way, is a door into the church, to a called out, to a redeemed, bought back. Sin, are you secure? Are you bought back? Do you feel that redeeming love? John, Acts 19:23. Now Jesus said, I am the way. Now, the early disciples, followers of Jesus, used this phrase as well in Acts 19:23, and at the same, this was in the confusion there at Ephesus, and then it says, and the same time there was no stir, small stir about the way. The word Christian was not used there at this point. They were referring to people, the disciples of Jesus, were concerning a group named the way. The followers of Jesus were first called Christians at Antioch in chapter 11. In Antioch, notice, Jesus did not come up with the term. It was not even Christians that come up with the term. It was other people looking on that called them Christians. I believe, I'm just saying this, maybe I'm wrong. I think they wanted to feel that was to be sort of like a derogatory term, but I might be wrong. So no one can find a way to the Father except by understanding the truth and partaking of the life found in Jesus Christ. It has been said that Jesus is a way for going to God. Jesus' death satisfies the death sentence of sin. Jesus gave his life so that we can have eternal life. Jesus paved the way that we can go back to God. We were away from God because man sinned. And the only way back to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth for knowing about God. Jesus is God in person. Jesus lived out God's will on earth, living it, living the truth. Jesus is the life for living with God. Through Jesus, we have no other connection to God, no other connection. The Holy Spirit helps us to live for God. United effort, the Spirit helps us of humanity, and it benefits humanity. Someone put it like this. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Amen? That's how it is. Jesus is the only way to God. Other religions have their devotions and prayer to their gods. And I'm often tempted, Maybe sometime I'll be brave enough and you see more and more Muslims. I like to go up to a Muslim and ask him, what did your God do for you? Wonder what they would say. Did their God do anything? Calm the waters? No. I never read Quran, but no, pretty boring. Okay. Now, the question David probably asked you, well, how do you know that your Bible is true? Well, they quote some of it. That's one reason. That's not the only reason. It's historically correct. It's spiritually correct. Now, how could you tell someone that the Bible is spiritually correct? Think about it. I think all of us should have a testimony. Because when I was converted, I knew something happened. Okay? Did it happen? Did you feel relieved? Did you feel, sin's all gone? Oh, that's how it works. Is the Bible correct? It is correct. That wouldn't happen. For what it says and what happens, it's correct. Now, verse 8. Back to John 7:14 again. Verse 8. Philip asks a question. Show us the Father. What did Philip expect from Jesus when he asked him to show them the Father? I wonder what Philip was expecting. Did Philip understand the description of God? What was he expecting? A voice from heaven? 400 years ago, before Christ was born, a Greek philosopher, Plato, wrote, "To find out the Father and Maker of all this universe is a hard task. And when we have found Him, to speak to Him, to all men, is impossible." But Plato was wrong. We can know the Father and Maker of our universe, for Jesus Christ revealed Him to us. Right, there's the answer. Jesus was trying to tell Philip, you see me, you seen the Father. We know God because of Jesus Christ. Imagine if we wouldn't have Jesus, we would have a distant view of God. Yeah, we could basically understand. But now we have a full understanding of God because of Jesus. God's presence was with man. But Jesus was just an ordinary man. His brothers were skeptical. Imagine. His brothers were even skeptical until a certain point. Verse 12. Jesus makes a very outstanding point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I shall do, he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. What is that verse saying? Truly, truly, verily, verily, truly, truly. We're going to do greater works than what Jesus did when he was here. What does that mean? I was pondering on that idea a little bit. And the only thing I could come up was, Jesus was limited when he was here. He could only, because he took on humanity, he could only be one place at one time. And he could only be here for 3 years. You and I are led by the Spirit. We're a multitude of people. How many people were here? 121 or something? 121 people. You can spread out, go to here and yon. What can you do? Hopefully we can spread the gospel. Do you understand what Jesus meant? He said, you're going to do greater things because there are going to be more and more of you, and you're going to be empowered by the Spirit, and you can go forth and do the works of Christ by showing in your life, putting on the fruits of the Spirit, giving hope in this world, giving life in this world, telling the truth. Verse 13. Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. You believe that? This morning, I believe that. Because this morning, I felt like a little man. I don't know if I can do this. But you know, it's only through the Spirit that you and I can do what God asks us to do. First of all, we have to be obedient. That's one thing we have to be. Prayer should be prominent in our life. Start in the morning. Don't put amen when you're done. When you go on through the day, have another prayer. Speak to God through the day. It is power. You have connection. Surrendering, praying is what gives glory to God. Verse 16. I will pray and the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Well, that's probably something they didn't understand until Acts chapter 1. In other words, what Jesus was saying, the word another comforter, in the Greek word translated another, means another of the same kind. So Jesus was coming. He said, I got to go, and the Spirit will come. It's God in a spirit form. Spirit of God is not different from the Son of God, for both are God. Jesus was the guiding hand of the disciples. Now that Jesus left earth, the Spirit would come and name the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we can have the Spirit if we don't confess Jesus. Just that simple. It's what it tells us. Whom even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh him not, neither knoweth him. So you got to have a connection to God, with God, through Jesus, in order to have the Holy Spirit within. This morning I'm not going to have a long message. There is no need to have a troubled heart this morning when we have the Spirit of God within us. We had the promises of God. We can pray to God, and he can dwell within us, and he's coming back. Are you ready? Let us kneel to pray.